Welcome to the Eco Mama Podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Snell. I'm here to share the trials and tribulations of raising happy and healthy children while striving to minimize exposures to harmful toxins in our everyday lives. As an Eco Mama, I choose progress over perfection. I seek quality over quantity, and I believe in supporting families, communities, and small businesses that put people, product, and planet before profit. Thanks for joining me today. Hello, Eco Mamas. Welcome back for another episode of the Eco Mama Podcast. I am super excited today to talk to you about a topic that my husband and I sometimes disagree on. It's just because we have different end goals. And this topic, of course, has to do with chemicals, and it's on pesticides. I have here with me today my husband, Dave, and we're going to have a little conversation about why we disagree on pesticides. At the end of the day, my husband wants a beautiful green lawn, and as an eco mama, I want no chemicals near my home, on our grass, on our land, in our home, anywhere near us or our family. And to achieve what he wants to accomplish in the grass is a really difficult thing to do without using chemicals. So before I continue to ramble on, I'm going to introduce Dave.
Hello, everyone. I'm Dave. I'm Jamie's husband.
Welcome, Dave.
Thank you.
My husband is super supportive in all that I do. He's not someone that will go out of his way to find the safest ingredients or the safest products. However, he trusts my judgment, he trusts my perspective, my opinion, and he kind of just lets me roll with it. When it comes to our lawn care, though, we live on a half acre, is that right?
Yeah, about
a half acre, but I would say only half of that has grass. The other half is kind of very natural in the back. So a quarter of an acre, really, we're looking to manage.
Right.
Neither of us are into... We'll mow the lawn, we'll pull some weeds, we'll plant some flowers, but we're not super guru lawn care people.
Yeah, we don't expect to have a golf course as a lawn, you know.
I don't know. Some days I think you do. Well, he sees that artificial turf, he's like, oh, if only this were real.
Right.
So, Dave, explain to them, like, what you want, what you wish you had in a yard.
Just consistency within the grass itself. Right now it looks like we got variations of different types of grass. In the front, we got probably what we call a poor man's fescue, which is kind of like that light green rye looking fescue. And I wouldn't mind it if it was consistent throughout the whole lawn. But when you got that and you got patches of, I don't know if it's a weed or what, but it might have a little bit of azolla, a little bit of Bermuda in certain aspects. But that's my biggest point. So what Jamie mentioned, you know, obviously, doesn't want anything chemical-based in our lawn. Do I compromise a little bit? Probably. Maybe I'm a little impatient. I just want that lawn looking, just consistent, you know?
Right. So are there weeds are in the grass?
Right.
Right. So there's a weed that's in there that's very invasive, the pennywort. Pennywort is in our grass, and it's very invasive, and it grows fast, and it's kind of a trailing weed. And it's difficult to pick by hand.
Right. Because think about like a little, looks like a little small lily pad, right? Very small. And so it's very flat to the ground. It's invasive. It's when it's there, there's no other grass around it.
Correct. It kind of kills the roots of the grass around it. Yeah. So keeping that pennywort under control without using a pesticide is a bit difficult. Right. And then there's the pesticides, which kills the weeds. And then there's the herbicides, or is it, I got it backwards. So sorry. The herbicides kill the weeds and the pesticides kill the invasive creatures and insects that could get in there and eat the grass or run under the yard and kill the roots of the grass. And so those kind of things would be, we have moles and that's why I got cats last year. And we do still have one cat. And he's not as active as he used to be with the moles, but maybe there's not as many out right now because the weather is changing.
You know, I thought so, but going back along a couple of days ago, I still
felt still soft.
It's still, yeah. If you have moles,
is it moles or voles?
I think it's moles.
Moles. Okay, so moles, they dig tunnels under your grass, and they basically like push the grass up. They kind of uproot it a little right. bit.
Oh, they eat the grubs that are.
So that's one of the insects. So the moles are there because of the grubs, which is one of the insects that the pesticides would know if I let him use them. But I'm very particular about having that in there because we do have pets. We have three children, as you may have heard from a previous podcast, and we have one cat and one dog, and they free roam on our yard. And my concern with having any kind of chemicals on there is that, I don't know, to me, the purpose of having a beautiful, expansive Sound of Music grass is so that you can enjoy it physically. Or is it only, David, do you want that grass because you want to roll in it and feel good, or you just want something pretty to look at? Do you want to actually be able to go in the grass?
No, I kind of a combination of both.
You know? Okay.
Yeah.
So you want it safe to go in, but you want it to look good.
Right.
Okay.
But so what was your motto before is if you drop a sandwich.
Oh, yeah. If I drop a sandwich in the grass, I want to be able to pick it up and eat it. I want to be able to walk barefoot. And our feet are like the soles to our organs. Right. So if you walk on pesticides, all you're doing is just inviting chemicals straight into your body if you're walking barefoot. I'm a Florida girl. I am barefoot all the time. I'm barefoot when it's like 50, 40 degrees outside, not in the snow, but I'll walk the dog barefoot when it's 40 outside and my neighbors will like chastise me. Put some shoes on, girl. And I'm like, I'm a Florida girl. I'm just used to being barefoot. And I will take calluses over blisters any day, but that's besides the point. I want to be barefoot in the grass. I want to sit outside. I want the kids to be able to practice their gymnastics in the grass in the yard. And if it's sprayed with chemicals, I don't trust that. Even if they say, oh, once it dries, it's safe. It's not in the cards for me.
Right. You know, I know when I talk to the lawn guy, you know, oh, is it safe? Well, I would just make sure your pets are inside for 30 minutes or an hour. So, I mean, that, you know.
Yeah. But once it rains or their sprinklers go off, it gets wet again. And how much is it reactivating by that moisture? I just don't know enough about it. I will tell you some of the research that I've done. Glyphosate is one of the most common ingredients in lawn care services used by master lawn care services, and even in the do-it-yourself stuff that you can get from your local hardware store, Home Depot, or Lowe's. And the glyphosates are what is known for causing issues with humans. It's not safe for humans. It's meant to kill whatever it comes in contact with. What happens is when we come in contact with them, we breathe it or touch it, it gets into our systems. And the most susceptible are newborn babies and children. And that's where they're finding increased cases of cancer leading directly back to glyphosates in children. So, I mean, that's just one example of why I don't want it there. But we have young kids. They're getting older now, but they're still developing. And especially when puberty hits, I mean, that's when hormones are going wild. Newborns and puberty is like the most susceptible because their bodies are changing so much. And you don't want any endocrine disruptors or other harmful toxins to mislead the body into developing the way it should. Because when you have too many toxins in your body or endocrine disruptors, your body can overproduce and underproduce critical hormones to develop properly, mentally and physically. So I just don't want anybody exposed to that. Our animals walk outside barefoot and they'll come back in the house. I'm not going to wipe my dog's feet every time. I mean, gosh, we're probably overdue for the dog's bath, to be honest with you. It's been a few weeks, I should say. It's just not a maintenance thing that is my forte. So having something safe out there. Now, that being said, we've been in this house for
5 years.
5 years. And how did the grass look when we moved here?
It was nice, actually.
Yeah. It was nice. Now, the people that we bought from, I believe the husband was a master gardener.
So from what we heard from our neighbors, he was out 12 hours a day.
Yeah, they called our backyard the springtime of
The Masters.
The Masters, because it was just so beautiful the way everything bloomed. And I'm sad to say I've kind of put that to shame. When we moved in, I told my husband he was in charge of the grass, but I had to approve of anything he put on it, and that I would take care of all of the beds where the flowers and the gardens and things were. And they are so overgrown with weeds. And that just has to do with the fact that we're busy people. And because of my no chemical lifestyle, it's gotten a little more natural than we would prefer.
Right.
So if you could have it your way, David, how would it?
As far as the the lawn care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love natural, you know, natural lawn care. No chemicals. Maybe complete nice green fescue. Now, it's tough in South Carolina because we're probably at the southernmost part that you really could have fescue. Any below us, it's just not going to grow. Out of all the types of grass, that's what I would love. You know, just uniform. But it's been tough finding a lawn care that does completely don't use chemicals.
Yeah. In order to eradicate those weeds, it's very difficult because, you know, some do-it-yourself solutions will say, okay, to kill weeds, use a vinegar mixture with a mild dish soap. But vinegar also kills grass. So you don't want to use that on the weeds that are mixed in with the grass. And then the other solution is to just use dish soap, which I haven't tried that yet. But they say that dish soap will kill weeds, but not grass. A mild dish soap or a Castile soap. I've read that. Have you read anything like the natural solutions?
That part, but that's something we can, you know, maybe just take a little area that we really don't care about too much.
Yeah, what about resodding?
Well, the problem, if you resod, if you think about what we have a front lawn that is connected to the side. It's also connected to the back. If it wasn't the case, if it was the front of the lawn was completely separate, then yes, I would completely think about resodding, you know.
Well, what if we did it in phases? And I think the reason he doesn't want to do it all at once is because it would be very expensive. Even though I say it's only a quarter of an acre, it is still a lot of grass. It might be more than quarter of an acre. But
it's over 7,000 square feet.
7,000 square feet. And resodding that would be a pretty penny. We have other, if we had that kind of cash flow to play with, I think I'd rather do some in-house repair and maintenance to keep the house up to date as opposed to the yard.
Right.
So some other tips that I had listened to in preparation for today's podcast, though, with lawn care, other ways to help keep the grass up. So something I wanted to share with you, David, that I had read, and it's not something that, to my knowledge, we have never tried before, and I'd like to propose it, and then we can do a follow-up and see, share with the audience how it works. Because I still don't want to use chemicals. I think he's in a place where he respects why I don't want to use them. However, we don't want to give up on this grass solution, how to get the best grass without using chemicals, and we can't afford to resod. So one of the things that I had read for a suggestion was using Epsom salts as a fertilizer in the yard. So this one particular article I had come across with Archer Services that Epsom salt enriches your soil to help grow a greener grass. I'm just going to read this to you. Epsom salt is not just a good fertilizer for flowers or vegetables. If you want your front yard turf to look lush and stay healthy all year long, spray the lawn with an Epsom salt solution once a month. This treatment helps grass seeds germinate and develop into strong blades. The treatment ensures that the turf keeps its roots strong and healthy despite weather changes, mowing stress, or even physical damages. So I want to find out the solution for the Epsom salt, like what you mix it with. In addition, I also read that you're supposed to replace your lawnmower blades often. Mm. I never knew that.
Yeah.
So I grew up apartment living, apartment to apartment to apartment. The first house that I ever lived in as an adult that was owned was when David and I bought our first house like 7 years ago. So I never had to deal with lawn maintenance. And I think David is kind of the same as family, but his family always lived in homes, but I think they had lawn services, didn't you?
No. When I grew up, I did the lawn pretty much.
You did the lawn. How did it stay green?
Well, don't forget we lived in the north, so I'm from upstate New York. I don't think you get as many weeds as up there as you do down here.
So less weeds.
Less weeds. It's pretty much, I think, up there mostly fescue. You don't have azolla, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't have Bermuda. There's a couple other different types of grass that you have down here that you don't have up there.
Right.
And also one thing is to also use a bag. Now, dumb me, when our last house, we had a backyard that was mostly, what would you call it? Like more like a foresty type thing.
Well, it was all natural. Right. There was no real grass. It would have like little seeds of grass pop up here and there, but.
Right. And to bag it, you know, it was mostly bagging leaves instead of the grass itself. So I thought, you know, I'm not using really the bag, so I just got rid of it. I totally regret it coming up here because what we're doing when I mow the lawn, especially when you mow over and you go over weeds, is that you're spreading.
Exactly. You know? So you're not only chopping the weeds, but then you're just redistributing the weeds and the seeds of the weeds.
Right.
So something that I've also learned in relevance to that is that weeds will die in the winter. But if you don't pick the dead pieces of the weeds before they like go back into the ground, they're seeding for next year to grow back twice as big, twice as strong, twice as wide. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's important, even though the weeds may die off, to get rid of them. Otherwise, they just come back full force. They make this, in your yard beds, they make this screen that you can lay down that's supposed to keep weeds from growing through. And it just doesn't work as well because we've put it down in several areas and we've had weeds just pop right back up the very next season. But I learned from another gardener in our community that doing like 4 or 5 layers of paper bags in between your soil and your mulch is the best way to do it. Then raised garden beds for gardening. And that will help minimize the weeds in those areas.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just a suggestion on those things. We're going to put this Epsom salt solution to the test and see if it's any help. But we've gone through just a little scenario. So we've been here 5 years. We've gone through how many companies?
I think I'm at third or fourth right now.
Third or fourth company. The first one that we had, he was absolutely amazing. He had all the ideas that I did, but he could not figure out how to make it, like, really work.
Right.
He did not believe in using any chemicals. He believed in handpicking weeds. He came out once or twice a month and literally would go in our yard and pick out weeds. And he was amazing. And, you know, we paid for the service. It was a little high end. However, it got to a point after a year of service that he showed up one day with another friend. He looked around. He's like, I don't think I can keep you on account anymore. Because it just kept growing back so fast. His ideals are there. He's just got to find the science behind it to not use the chemicals and still get rid of it. Because the manual labor required for the yard is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
And I know a lot of people are like, just let it go natural. And they let weeds grow in their yard. And that's great. But, you know, I do respect my husband with his desire to have a green grass. Of course, I would love this picture perfect, you know, front yard.
Yeah. And I have, you know, I have lawn envy because our next door neighbor, and they have, you know, their front lawn is, there's really no shade, and they have fescue, and it's growing really thick and green, that dark green. Mm-hmm. And in the back, there's some shade, and it grows the same.
Yeah, but they also use Roundup. They go around the yard, and they use Roundup to kill the weeds. Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're out there spraying it. And I'm like, kids, stay off their yard for a couple days. Because Roundup's just like, I don't know, I think it was invented by the devil. I mean, if you've ever read any studies about children who grew up around large commercial farms, they have skyrocketing cases of childhood cancers, childhood illnesses, debilitating things that prevent them from growing up healthy. And it's because of all of the Monsanto GMO stuff that's been sprayed on the crops, because the wind spreads it to the neighboring yards and farms and homes and in the windows. And there's no escaping it because once it's in the air, once those molecules are floating around, they just keep blowing. So if you're in the vicinity of a farm that uses conventional methods, you're kind of screwed. I mean, I've read these articles and these studies and these parents were like, oh my God, I didn't know. I thought we were living next to a farm and it was nature and it was beautiful. But no, it's horrible.
I have a question. Yeah, so the Epsom salts, when I think of Epsom salts, I think of the Epsom salts that you put in the bathtub.
That is also used for that.
Right. So those are more like the big crystals. So, you mentioned what? Is it a spray? So
it's an Epsom salt solution. Yes, you are correct with Epsom salts. That is something that you've seen me take baths before. It's a natural detoxifier. You can also drink Epsom salts as a natural laxative because it has magnesium in it. However, don't drink too much because then you will not feel good. Trust me. But Epsom salts in the tub, the trick to using Epsom salts, though, is to make sure that you do not have any artificial scents in there. So I suggest just getting Epsom salts with no scents, and then you can add your own essential oils to it just to keep it safe for you. Otherwise, you're just putting toxins back into your body. And the other thing with Epsom salts, if you're going to soak in the tub, don't stay in the tub more than 20 minutes because the Epsom salt will help extract impurities from your body. However, after 20 minutes, you're going to start reabsorbing those. So 20 minutes and out. All right, let's look at the solution.
In our neighborhood, we have various types of lawns or something. When I take a walk,
And I'm like, wow, what a cool lawn that is. I mean, it's just nice and green. And I do have this little jealousy. You know, we live in this nice house, nice neighborhood, and both sides of our neighbors have really nice lawns. And here it is that I can't get my lawn to look what I want it to look. And you know, I get frustrated with that, but I understand where Jamie's coming from. And I just, you don't think of it. More or less, it's out of sight, out of mind, is my... probably my MO. And you know, if we can't see it, it's outside, you know, it's not inside where it's, you know, it's more that touchy feely thing where you're coming in contact with toxins. When I'm outside, I don't think about it as much because, you know, it's the nice fresh air.
Thanks for seeing where I'm coming from. So I absolutely love that. And you're right, outside, out of mind. I see it, I hear it all the time. I will tell you that 98% of my family could care less about the chemicals in their products or the chemicals in our environment. This is something that was instilled in me from some other place, some other foreign place that brought my attention to it. And so it's not like I was brought up on this. This is something that I was gravitated towards and started learning on my own. So the things that I've shared with David, I was already on this journey before he met me, but since we had kids, it's been tenfold. And like I said, thankfully he supports me on this journey. Mm-hmm. He doesn't go out of his way to see what's what, but he does respect my wishes of certain foods for the kids and certain products for the kids, etc. All right, so the Epsom salt solution for the yard. It says here, once a month, it says for every 100 square feet of lawn, you apply a half a pound of Epsom salt. Now, if you don't have a sprinkler system, you want to mix that with water. If you do have a sprinkler system, then you can just sprinkle it on the lawn and let the sprinkler run. For each gallon of water, it's just 2 tablespoons of salt. So if you were going to put it in a spray bottle, if you have a small yard, right. 2 tablespoons of pure Epsom salt.
Okay.
And 1 gallon of water.
So it's just a big spray bottle.
Big spray bottle in a small yard. We do have a sprinkler system. So I think what we could do is get the Epsom salt and one of those, what do you call that thing you push and it seeds for you? The cedar?
Cedar.
Okay, there you go. So you get the cedar and then you can put, again, pure Epsom salt in there and seed it around the yard once a month before you run the sprinkler. Yeah.
Well, I'm willing to try it, you know,
I mean, there's mixed things on this, but I'd say let's try it, right? So every 100 square feet, you want a half a pound of Epsom salt. We can do the math for that. That's how much we buy. We'll try it. We'll do it once a month for 3 or 4 months. You can't hurt our grass as it is. We've literally, when we started with the very first guy, he came out and killed everything naturally and then seeded to bring it back. And it worked, but we had a mud pile in our backyard for like 6 months. Oh, remember that? There was nothing out back.
Well, yeah, that was a combination of, you know, with the moles eating the grubs. So there's no grass foundation.
I remember
every time I would take the lawnmower and, you know, do one line and turn it, it was like completely, you know, making a huge dent on the lawn.
So. No, I remember it was almost like four-wheeling with a lawnmower.
Right.
All right, well, it sounds like we might have a possible solution. I just want to share my gratitude towards my husband.
Well, one thing I want to say is, and it is tough because we want that immediate gratification when we do something, you know, just like working out, right? But I forgot what was that? There was somebody, if you do a little bit, you know, each day, it's like changing like a little habit, but you do that just a little thing and you'll see the rewards tenfold. It could be the same thing where I need as far as the lawn. You know what I mean? It's going to take some time. And so, you know, if you do maybe the Epsom salt or...
And fresh blades.
Right.
We've never replaced the blades and we've had that lawnmower 7 years. We bought it when we bought the first house.
Right.
And we've never replaced them or sharpened them or anything.
No, I know.
So... That's another lesson. We're learning, guys. This is life. We're learning how to do things.
Yeah. I mean, last house, everybody's familiar with whatever they call it, the Carolina Reapers? What was that? It's kind of like
the thorny things?
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, and here we had them all over the place, and they were, you know, the small ones, I was, you know, oh, I'm too tired to kind of go around because we got so many. I'm just taking a lawnmower.
Oh, gosh. You know? Yeah. So those blades are definitely old and tired.
Right.
All right. It looks like we've got some some things to do to sharpen our tools. You know, one of the things that I learned, and this was actually in a garden setting, my Aunt Kathleen, I absolutely love her. She was helping us work on our yard to sell our first house when we decided to move up to South Carolina. And actually at the time we didn't know where we were moving, but we knew we wanted to sell. So she came over and she was helping me in the yard, and she was teaching me so much about the plants and the shrubs and how to replant them and cut them back and stuff. And she made a comment. She goes, you know, you're only as smart as your sharpest tool. Okay, so it was a great analogy because we're working in the garden and we needed sharp shears and clippers and stuff and a good shovel, definitely, with a nice sharp point on it. But she goes, but you know what your sharpest tool should be? And I'm looking at all the tools in front of us and I'm trying to figure out what she's saying. And I start naming off the yard tools, and she's like, no, your sharpest tool should be your mind. And I loved that because that applies to everything in life. So right now, we haven't been using our sharpest tool because we've just been wanting it to be fixed, and we haven't really been seeking the solutions that we can do on our own. But we're going to go down that path now, still trying to avoid the chemicals, go more natural. I think we're going to just take a section of the yard and test out the Epsom salts.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. I am just super grateful that you took the time to listen to the Eco Mama podcast.
And I echo Jamie Simmons. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Dave, for taking the time to spend with me and sharing your perspective on the lawn and finding a common ground.
You got it, huh?
I hope you enjoyed this conversation today, listening to my husband and I go back and forth about solutions that we are seeking for our lawn care without using pesticides or chemicals that are harmful to our health. Be sure to subscribe to my channel so you don't miss any of these conversations. This Friday, be sure to tune back in as I do our deep dive on Focus Friday and we discuss ingredients. We will be covering parabens. I'm looking forward to connecting with you again soon. Thank you so much and have a wonderful week.